Chapter 52. I never fully got over how fast the Apache was. We'd usually cruise above a target area at a civilized 70 knots, but often, hurrying to the target area, we'd open her up, push her all the way to 145. And since we were barely off the ground, it felt three times faster. What a privilege, I thought, to experience this kind of raw power and to put it to work for our side. Flying super low was standard operating procedure. Harder for Taliban fighters to see you coming. Alas, easier for local kids to throw rocks at us. Which they did, all the time. Children throwing rocks was about all the Taliban had in the way of anti-aircraft capability, other than a few Russian surface-to-air missiles. The problem wasn't evading the Taliban, but finding them. In the 4 years since my first tour, they got much better at escaping. Humans are adaptable, but never more so than in war. The Taliban had worked out exactly how many minutes they had from first contact with our troops until the cavalry came over the horizon, and their internal clocks were finely calibrated. They'd shoot at as many guys as possible, then bolt. They got better at hiding too. They could effortlessly melt into a village, blend into the civilian population, or vaporize into their network of tunnels. They didn't run away. It was far more diffuse than that, more mystical. We didn't give up the search easily. We'd circle, sweep back and forth, sometimes for 2 hours. The Apache ran out of fuel after 2 hours. Sometimes, at the end of 2 hours, we'd still be unwilling to give up, so we'd refuel. One day, we refueled 3 times, spending a total of 8 hours in the air. When we finally returned to base, the situation was dire. I'd run out of piss bags.